Welcome back to another episode of Believe in Florida State Basketball. This is your host, Nick Andre. Once again, thank you guys once again for tuning in. As always, joined by my co-host, Austin. Man, how are you doing, man? Happy to have you back on.
Good, man. It's the Saturday Kentucky Derby. It's a tradition in my household, so it's a big day here.
Nah, that's what's up, man. I know everybody's tuning in with that, especially around my neighborhood, so I know it's a bit pretty big thing for people who are really into it. But Austin literally just told me as we – like, literally right before we recorded, we have some breaking news that just took place. Jalen Worley to Virginia, man. You know, another Florida State guy going to an ACC team. So what is your initial reaction to this news that just took place?
Yeah, fourth former Florida State player going to the ACC in the last two off seasons. It did not come as a surprise to me. If you go back to his high school recruitment, it pretty much seemed like Florida State and Virginia were the two schools competing there till the very end. So not surprised to see him end up there now after 3 years in Tallahassee. I am a little concerned about the on-court fit for them. You know, Virginia is very infamously a slow-paced offense that struggles to score, and Worley is a point guard that struggles to score. So I'm very curious to see how that works out. It's not exactly like he's a Kihei Clark or a Ty Jerome, or even if we want to look at McNeely this year, who was an incredible shooter. He's not in that vein of a player. So I'm curious to see how they use him. Defensively, it should be a match made in hell. Honestly, he's going to do really well there defensively, but I am more worried about their offense than you normally would be for Virginia.
Yeah. I mean, another big guard, high IQ player, now going to another ACC team. I mean, you know, I think he's going to be used well there. Do you think that, cause I mean, Virginia, at least to me, you know, they at least, throughout this past season, show that they had a lot of good floor space. And do you think that could be an issue with him being in certain lineups with his new team? Or
just depends how they close their roster. Really, I haven't kept up with them too much. But as long as McNeely's there, they're gonna be able to shoot the basketball. You just got to get a little bit more floor spacing around him. I know Ryan Dunn, I believe, is entering the NBA. Maybe he could come back, but he wasn't a great floor spacer. We'll just have to see how they end up closing that roster.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It sucked, you know, watching Jalen Worley go, especially, you know, I remember just listening to an interview. I can't remember exactly what happened, but I know he had like some type of connection with Coach Hamm, which is the reason why he went. But I mean, you talk about, 3 years with the team, you know, really thrived at being like one of the starting guards, you know, in the backcourt for the team, and even had some really good stretches, in my opinion, towards like down the stretch of last year. You know, I mean, I thought he had some really good scoring games, showed a little bit of his outside scoring, you know, pretty much taking advantage of what the defense gave him. So I think Jalen Worley, you know, is going to be able to fit just fine in Virginia. You know, it kind of sucks having to see him walk away, but you know, at the end of the day, I think in these 3 years, you know, he's really grown as a player all around.
He was great in ACC play, at least for most of it. His free throw shooting came a long way. I know we've talked about it a few times before, but definitely curious to see how this match works with Virginia. Curious to see how Florida State attacks them when they play this season. A lot of things to definitely watch out for this season with that matchup.
I agree 100%, man. But Jalen, definitely wish you the best of luck moving forward, man. And we can't wait to match up with you guys this upcoming season. But other news that took place just a couple of days ago, Jameer Watkins has entered the transfer portal, which is coming a week after he declared for the draft. And I think it's kind of a normal thing that you're kind of seeing now with a lot of players. You know, they're opting into the draft, but they're also keeping their options open and, you know, just keeping their options open as far as being in the portal. I think we've seen, obviously, Bronny James from USC do it, and then there's, like, a few other notable players that have done it as well. So what are your thoughts about Jameer entering the portal, especially a week after he just announced that he was going to declare for the 2024 draft?
Yeah, I think the curious thing is he entered with a do not contact tag, which 9 times out of 10 that happens is because they already have a destination in mind. In this situation, I'm almost more curious if he's testing the NBA first, and then if he doesn't like his options there, he'll come back, take the do not contact tag off. I think it's smart of him. Just keep all your options open, including a return to Tallahassee potentially. I still think him going pro is the most likely option. It was announced either this morning or last night that he was invited to the NBA combine. So I expect him to do well there, and I'd still expect him to explore those professional options. I really hope he doesn't come back to college and haunts us somewhere else. But like I said, I still think going to the NBA is going to be the most likely move here.
Yeah, that's all I was going to ask you. Like, which one would be like which one would be a higher percentage of him doing, you know, returning to college for another program or just going to the NBA? I think right now, especially with how well he's increased his value throughout, you know, with the production that he gave this season, I think he has a really high chance of even, you know, getting into the NBA. So I think that, to me, that's probably the likely situation is going to happen for him. But I was going to ask, you know, I know it's still early, you know, with him announcing the news, but are there any schools right now that are possibly looking at him right now that we know of?
I haven't seen anything, to be honest. Someone told me UNC potentially, but that was just like someone speculating. There's no background information for that. I really have no idea. And it's one of those, I think he's more likely to go pro just for the fact that even if he does come back to school for another year, whether it's Florida State or somewhere else, what more can he really add to his game to take away some of the red flags? We saw him progress with his 3-point shot. We saw him progress with the free throw shooting. The ACL tear that happened his first year in college is always going to be there. It's not like that's going to go off the medical red list. And as we talked about, it's not a great draft class this year. I don't see any reason to not go now, but we'll just have to see how he performs in the NBA combine in a few weeks.
Yeah, I think right now, especially as we look at the draft now, I mean, we talked about it last episode, you know, I think there's definitely a good chance that, in my opinion, that Jameer is going to go at least first round. I mean, as far as his improvements, I mean, we talked about it, you know, him steadily improving as a perimeter scorer and everything. So, of course, he can always get better from those aspects, especially from the free throw line. So, of course, you can always get better. But, you know, I feel like right now, I mean, at least what we're seeing from at least like the whole package, the outside shooting, the ability to play make, the ability to, you know, absorb contact around the rim, of course. And then, of course, defensively, you know, what he provides, you know, being able to defend multiple positions, being able to defend in multiple areas. So, to me, like, I think right now, if you ask me, his game is ready for it. Of course, you know, as he transitions to the league, he's, you know, going to get a new experience. And, of course, you know, going to find new ways to improve his game as he's going up against professional players compared to college players. But I think right now, I mean, especially with how not so strong this draft has been, you know, I definitely believe that right now would definitely be the right time. But I'll be honest, like, I was actually kind of surprised to see him enter the portal, just because I feel like, you know, it seemed like he was really confident in going into the draft. But I mean, it's like I say, you know, I think now and moving forward, that's going to be kind of the norm now, where we see these players enter the draft, but then also enter the portal as well, just to keep their options open. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it is a smart move, but, you know, I think now and moving forward, like I said, I think we're going to see more of that moving forward.
It had been a rumor for a little while that he was going to enter the portal. I didn't necessarily always believe it, but it had been a rumor at the very least, and it really came, you know, the day after the portal closed. So he had entered his paperwork either the day of the portal closing or the day before.
Yeah.
But it was definitely one of those he'd been thinking about it for a while. And again, he's just keeping all of his options open. I don't blame anybody for doing that in this day and age with NIL and you know, maybe exactly. by the time he potentially withdraws from the NBA drafts, you know, a lot of those roster spots are going to close up. So got to keep all your options open. I don't blame anybody that does that.
Yeah, just from the fan perspective, just kind of sucks to be him, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's not
the end of the portal. Yeah, I mean, especially with how well he played this season, and then of course, you know, him stepping up, being the best player on the floor. You know, I know there were several Florida State fans, even when I went to games, you know, they were super excited about Jameer Watkins and of course his upside and his potential. And of course, we all wanted to see how that would look like, you know, if he played multiple years with the program. I mean, you talked about it. I mean, his numbers increased significantly, averaged around 15 a game, you know, being a great, you know, passer, being a great rebounder, rim protector and everything. So, you know, from a fan's perspective, you know, it sucks. But at the end of the day, you know, I guess you just have to be appreciative of what he was able to do in his 1 year in Tallahassee.
Yeah, I definitely wish he was coming back to school. Like I said, when we talked last time, it was so much fun to watch him just bully people up and down the court on both ends of the floor, offense and defense. He was a ton of fun to watch, and he's one of those players that what could he have looked like in two seasons under Leonard Hamilton? I doubt we'll ever really know, but it's fun to think about for sure.
Yeah, 100%, man. But we'll definitely keep tabs on what's next for Jameer Watkins. I'm sure we'll get some more updates as time goes on. But, you know, I'm excited to see, you know, what his future looks like. Next topic we could talk about real quick. Saw some things. Primo Spears has officially visited New Mexico. I know that there was other programs that he was interested in. I mean, we talked about it before. I mean, this is going on his fourth school. you know, the past few years, you know, obviously played at Florida State, played at Georgetown as well. New Mexico, kind of a, you know, I don't know if you can consider like a rebuilding year. They went 13-19 last year, but they were like top five at Conference USA. So I don't really know much about New Mexico State. I'll probably watch like probably two games on them, but I probably didn't watch the whole games before. But how do you see this move being for Primo if it does happen?
Yeah, correct. Correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't they the school that had that crazy case against, it might have been New Mexico, where there was like players fighting between games and and a whole bunch of charges, and that whole program needed to reset, like the whole roster, new coach. Yeah, it was a mess either last season or the season before. I mean, we'll just have to see where he ends up. I feel like New Mexico State's kind of a perfect fit for him because they're going to let him just do whatever with the ball. And their leading scorer last year had 11 points per game, followed by someone with, you know, 10.5 points per game. So he could get the ball, score a lot, and continue to not win like he's done pretty much his whole career. Not to diss him, but he hasn't really won anything.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing because, like, at least for me, I'm a fan. I mean, I was even a fan even before he even came to Florida State. So it's just kind of a weird situation when you look at him and, you know, now he's going on his fourth school now. And it means, like you say, you know, he hasn't really won anything. So, you know, it's, you know, he hasn't really won at a high level. But I just wonder, you know, why is this constant transfer from one school to the next? He definitely had his moments at Florida State. First game struggle. I remember he shot like 2-for-14, 2-for-15 or something like that in his first game. But then as the season progressed, you know, kind of came along. You know, I know he had some great assist numbers. I know he had some really good scoring performances where it was really him and Jamari Wilkins and Derrick Green Jr. who were really able to carry the load offensively. So I really believe that Primo Spirits is a really great player. And, you know, I just want to see him in a position where he can really be his best and he can really contribute at a high level to a really good team.
Yeah, I just – What is his best? We have no idea what that looks like.
Yeah.
Especially because, like you mentioned, bounced around from school to school. Started at Duquesne, went to Georgetown, now Florida State. There was definitely some, yeah, let's just call them red flags this season at Florida State. And I'm sure there's a lot of teams that don't love seeing that. And we also don't know what kind of support he's getting from Florida State's coaching staff as other teams are contacting them about him. So we don't know what his best is, and I find it hard to believe we'll see it this season. I could be wrong. I could be way wrong, but I'd be a little surprised.
Yeah. I might have asked you this before, but do you think with him bouncing from school to school really kind of hurts him, you know, especially as he's going to go visit, you know, different programs?
Yeah, for sure. Those guys that bounce around, especially if you go back to high school, I don't really know what his high school career looked like off the top of my head, but those guys that go to two or three or four different high schools and get to college and bounce around from college to college, they're, teams don't love that. They like guys that they can develop, that they know have some loyalty and some trust in. Guys that continue to bounce around and can't seem to find settle footing, it's hard to trust players like that. And I would certainly be that same way if I was in the coach's shoes. You know, it'd be hard to trust players like that.
Yeah, I agree. Even with all the talent that he has, it's like, you know, you can look at it from a talent perspective and say, oh, yeah, this guy is really good. Yeah. You know, he could do multiple things on offense. You know, he's really a guy that's not afraid to put the ball in the basket. So at least when you look at it from a playing perspective, you know, it looks like a good move. But then when you talk about his resume, you know, him going from this school to the next school to the next school, and even though he has had good moments, you know, throughout his college career, you know, it hasn't really resulted in a lot of wins. Like, for instance, like Georgetown, they didn't really win a lot of games this past season at Florida State. You know, it was really a roller coaster. So we look at it from that perspective and see that even though he is having good moments, but it hasn't really resulted to winning. I mean, I think that a lot of coaches are hesitant. So, you know, hopefully, like I said, hopefully this next move that he has can be the right move. Because, I mean, it seems like, you know, he bounces from place to place. He seems like he's still trying to find his footing. So maybe whether it's New Mexico State or another program, you know, hopefully it could be the right situation for him. They could help elevate him as a player and the team.
Yeah, just for a little comparison, I got curious and looked. Florida State won 17 games this year. That was more games than he had won combined at his first two stops. He won 6 games at Duquesne and 7 games at Georgetown. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. That's wild. I mean, I knew that Georgetown had a really poor season last season in 2022-23. I didn't really know much about Duquesne. I didn't really watch him a lot at Duquesne, but yeah, like that's really crazy when you think about it. You know,
and two seasons later, they were in the tournament. Okay. It was a massive
not really a good move. Not really a good look for Primo, but
no.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just I really hope the best for him. You know, that's just pretty much what I can say is that I really hope the best for him. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't really look good, you know, whenever he does leave a program and just see how much they're able to excel. Because I mean, Duquesne was actually a pretty good team this past year. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much all I can say about Primo. I mean, I'm still a fan, but you know, I just want to see, you know, his next run moving forward.
Absolutely, yeah. Hopefully, finds a good landing spot for him and has success that he hasn't seen yet, and we'll just have to see.
Right, but we do have some new transfers that just came in. Two big wings. I had a chance to be able to watch both of them over the weekend or over these past couple of days. First, we'll start with Boston Holt, who recently transferred from South Dakota, played his freshman year at Utah, then transferred to South Dakota. Really elevated this past year, averaged around 12 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, shot 39% from three, which is really good. I really like his game. It's weird, like, because I was watching film on him, like, I don't know why I feel like this, but it's like there's some moments where it's like he looks like a really big guard, and then just moments where he looks like he's like really skinny. I don't know if it's just, you know, depending on who he's matched up against, but I love his offense. You know, I think one thing that stands out to me, you know, he's really good at getting into the teeth of the defense. You know, he has a nice little float game. You know, he can drop to the basket. You know, he can also space the floor and knock down 3-point shots. And I think that's one thing that we're seeing from Florida State, you know, throughout this offseason is them really adding, obviously, versatility, but also, you know, perimeter scores, because that was definitely something that we really lacked on this past season. So what are your thoughts on Boston Holt, you know, coming from South Dakota and now transferring to Florida State?
Yeah, just real quick. He actually started at JUCO at Coffeyville Community College. Yeah. Spent two seasons there, then two seasons at Utah, but two seasons should be taken lightly. He only played in 27 games across two seasons, including just three games that first year there. It's whatever. I'm hard pressed to believe that he would be anything more than an eighth or ninth man, ideally, on a roster, because he, like I said, he hardly played for Utah, like 8 minutes per game, 9 minutes per game, you know, 3 points, 2.5 points per game, really didn't play much. Goes to South Dakota, has a little bit of success, like you mentioned, the 12 points per game, 39% from three on low volume, but at least the shooting is there. Ideally, he's not starting for Florida State next season, but he should be a high floor bench wing at the very least. I think he's an underrated passer. I was pretty impressed with some of his passes, had basically 100 assists this past season. And like you mentioned, can handle the ball a little bit, can drive to the basket. I think Florida State's definitely put an emphasis on shooting this offseason, as we'll see with some of these other guys. But definitely put an emphasis on shooting. He averaged, you know, even 4 free throw attempts per game last year, so willing to get to the basket and draw the fouls.
So if you had to take a guess, like how many minutes do you think that he'll average this upcoming season for Florida State?
If it's anything more than 12 to 14, Florida State's roster is in trouble, honestly. But it just depends how they fill out this roster.
Yeah, I was thinking close to 14, 15, but it all depends. But I was like, I mean, it's like we both said, I think we both agree that the one thing that Florida State has done throughout this offseason is acquire key perimeter scores. And it's like you say, you know, with Boston Holt, you know, barely really getting a lot of playing time at Utah. And then, of course, you know, transferring to South Dakota and just being able to really, I wouldn't say blossom, but definitely improve his game and really show his true value as a scorer, as a playmaker and everything, I think is really big. So, you know, I'm really excited to see him with his roster. I mean, definitely he'll have to be a big piece in the second option, you know, being able to do the same things that he did at South Dakota. But if everything works well and he's able to play his style of play, you know, I would be really excited to, you know, see how he really fits in just certain lineups with this team.
Yeah, we'll see. The one thing I don't love, and this goes back to the Primo Spears discussion, is they wanted to add players that have won, and so far we're just not seeing that. We'll see. We'll talk about Justin Thomas here in a second, but South Dakota was 12 and 20 this year. Hampton, I don't think, was much better. Let me double check. I think they might have, they were 9 and 24. That's where Jerry Dane is coming from. And you know, Florida State needs guys that have won. They need guys with that experience. Winning is not easy, especially at this ACC level. And I think that's the result of a lot of the lack of confidence that we're seeing from the fan base. We'll have to see how it all works out in a roster, obviously. You know, no one ever saw Jameer Watkins having the jump he did, and maybe one of these players will. So we'll just have to see.
Yeah, you make a really valid point, especially considering that these players are not coming from like winning programs, but they're also not coming from, I guess you could say they're also coming from like smaller conferences as well, where the competition is not necessarily as high. You know, we talked about Jerry Dang being at Hampton, you know, the competition, pretty good competition, but I guess maybe not as strong as the ACC. And then, of course, other guys like Boston Hole as well. I mean, Utah was in a pretty, yeah, or excuse me, South Dakota was in a pretty good program. I mean, I think they had some really high level, you know, performances, and of course, high level competition as well. But I don't know. I guess, you know, the ACC has always been a different type of ball game. And I think we've seen, you know, even in years past, you know, a lot of players, you know, being able to transfer to that pro, being able to transfer to the conference and just not being able to excel, or not being able, or, you know, having trouble really trying to adjust at that level. So I'm really excited. I'm really interested to see, you know, how they're able to adjust. But I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think that's one of the things that we probably should keep looking for moving forward is guys who know how to win. And I think that's really important, especially with this team who's trying to get back in winning mode, for Florida State at least. You know, I mean, even though we are making a climb in the ACC, but we're not necessarily there yet as far as like one of the true contenders in the conference. Obviously, you know, we had North Carolina, we had Duke as well, you know, other teams as well. But, you know, I think in order to be able to get back up there as like one of the top teams in the conference, we got to find guys who know how to win. So that's definitely something that we have to keep an eye out for.
And it'd be one thing if you were getting, or Florida State was getting the top options from these schools. Like Jerry Dang was
Yeah.
fourth in Hampton in scoring. Boston Holt was, I think, third. It's not exactly redeeming or awe-inspiring at the least.
I agree with that 100%. But let's also talk about Justin Thomas as well. Been kind of a weird journey for him in college. He
One way to
played at
put it.
Milwaukee, huh?
One way to put it.
Played one season at Milwaukee. I guess he did pretty decent as a role player, averaged around 7 points a game, four rebounds, shot 43% from three. Then transferred to UTSA, but unfortunately didn't play a game for UTSA. So now he's in Tallahassee. But let me ask you this: do you think that him not playing at all last year kind of, I don't know, I think it's kind of like, I guess, do you think that fans are kind of hesitant because he didn't play at all last year?
Well, I'm certainly hesitant.
Yeah.
Even if we start at the beginning, he started at Queens University, which is a very small school here in Charlotte. They were D2 at the time he was there. They've since moved up to D1. I believe they're playing in the Atlantic Sun Conference now. But even there, he was fine, I guess. 8 points per game. Did shoot 57% from three. On, let me see. Trying to find his attempts. Well, it was only on seven attempts for the season, but you know, it was one of those that came out of absolute left field. Like I said, started at Queens, then went to Navarro Junior College, which is in Texas. There he averaged, oh Lord, I'm gonna have to do math. I should have done this beforehand.
It was all good.
Averaged 12 points per game, shot only 31% from three there. Then transferred to Milwaukee for a season, like you mentioned, 43% from three. Again, on low volume, like we were just mentioning on Boston Holt. Then, like you just said, UTSA didn't play. This one came out of absolute left field when that John Rothstein notification came through that him and
Yeah.
Holt had committed. And I'm like, who? And I follow the transfer cycle as much as anybody. I'd be surprised to see him see minutes this year, you know, maybe in that Tom House role where he sees 2 to 3 minutes per game and tries to be that shooter. But it's one of those where you look at the stats and the places he's been, and you're like, man, I don't see how this could work out unless he just made some crazy jump at UTSA and we just have no way of knowing.
And I'll be real, like I actually know some people personally at UTSA, so I kind of watched them a little bit throughout the season, and I always saw his name at the roster, but I didn't really know much of him. So when he like so when the notification did come up and it said that he did transfer to Florida State, I knew who he was, but I didn't really know really much of his game because like we say, you know, he didn't really play. And I can understand in a way because the guard play is at UTSA, you know, they have a lot of great guards, or they did have a lot of great guards before they entered the portal. And then on top of that, you know, I thought that they were a pretty decent team in the AAC, you know, not really known as like one of the top contenders, but I thought they had some key moments, you know, throughout the season. But at least from what I saw from him, just some small sample of highlights, you know, from Milwaukee. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, we talked about his shooting. You know, he shot 43% from three, you know, during that year at Milwaukee. I think that he has tremendous speed, elevation. One thing that kind of looks bad is that, you know, he only weighs around like 180 pounds. So obviously, you know, playing in D1 basketball, then of course in the ACC, you know, I think you have to add more weight on you. But I mean, another thing too, because I was really questioning, you know, where he would be able to fit in his rotation, if he was going to get a lot of playing time or not. But I mean, you mentioned, you know, he might play a Tom House role on the team where he only sees the floor for probably about like 2-3 minutes a game. And I can honestly see that as well, especially considering that we haven't seen a lot from him in the last year. I mean, the last source of information that we have as far as him playing on the floor was over a year ago. So I want to see what the summer may look like for him, possibly, you know, if he is able to mesh well with the rest of this team, you know, especially, you know, getting ready for the next season.
Yeah, he initially sat at UTSA for the same reason Primo sat, that waiver issue where they weren't sure if he was going to be eligible or not. But then once all the transfers were eligible and that court case made everybody eligible, he still didn't see the floor. So I don't know exactly what happened there, and I'm curious to see if there is a backstory there. But I guess we'll just have to find out this year in Tallahassee and whether he sees any consistent playing time. You love the size and the skill set at 6'7", but like you mentioned, it's got to add a little bit of weight, and, you know, hopefully he could be a rotation player, but my expectations are low, and I hate to sound negative on it, but this is one take I didn't quite understand.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing too, because like when you look at his game, like you love his game. I mean, at least for me, I guess I should speak for myself. I mean, I personally love his game. I love his speed, and, you know, of course, him being able to get downhill and attack the basket. I mean, we saw glimpses of, you know, the spot up shooting, and then of course him being a trailer shooter as well. But I guess that's the biggest thing, is that, you know, even though he does add those attributes, you know, how much is it going to really, you know, help as far as from a winning aspect? And I think that's something that we can see. He also has some good defensive moments as well. But it's like I say, you know, I really want to see, especially for him and for Boston Holden, for all these guys, is like how was their style of play going to contribute to winning? And I think that's the one thing that we're all going to be questioning, you know, as the season comes ahead.
Yeah, it's also one of those, like, Milwaukee's in the Horizon League. It's not exactly like it's a big conference. And, you know, you would have loved to have BJ Freeman from Milwaukee. That's a little bit of a different standard. But having a guy like Justin Thomas, who didn't really – I don't think he started a game for them that season. Oh, no, sorry. He started 14 of the 33. But again, there's not much winning experience. There's not much high-level experience. It's hard to see how they're going to translate to the ACC until we see them on the floor, obviously. But on paper, just it doesn't look ideal, at the very least.
Right. My only assumption is, you know, once the season does roll around and we get exhibition play, I feel like that's where he'll really have to showcase himself, you know, especially in front of everybody. I mean, obviously, I don't know, like, exactly who we're going to match up against, whether it's, you know, a big school or not. But, you know, I think that'll definitely be the moment where I feel like he'll really have to really showcase his true self, like his true value on the floor. So, you know, that's just something to keep in mind, honestly.
Because we won't hear practice reports. It's one thing Florida State's always does. They are very quiet on what happens in practice. And, you know, even in exhibitions, they don't televise them for a reason. They want to keep things as quiet as possible. So we'll have to see. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, 100% of me. But, you know, hopefully this is the right move for Justin Thomas. You know, maybe it's something that we may possibly see, you know, end up well for him, where he's really, really a big piece in the rotation. Yeah, in the rotation. But we'll just have to see. But that's going to wrap up this episode. I don't know if you have anything else, but, you know, we'll definitely keep everybody updated, you know, as far as the offseason updates and as far as, you know, who's coming in and who's coming out, and just be in tune, for what's next moving forward. But Austin, once again, appreciate you for coming on, man. Let the people know where to find you on social media. And then, of course, you know, any updates, any articles that you have coming up.
Yep, find me on Twitter or X at EasyVZNG. As far as basketball articles, nothing crazy coming out. I'm working on a football piece for No Game Day, but nothing planned for basketball. We'll have to see if they get any commitments or transfer there. But either way, si.com/FSU/basketball. You'll be able to find my stuff there.
Nice. What's your thoughts on the Mavs winning game six?
It was fun, man. It was fun. I'm looking forward to the second round series against the Thunder. Trying to figure out if I want to go to any games out there, because I haven't been to Dallas in a decade. Wow. So The last time I was there to show my age a little bit was right after the Rondo trade, which we all know how that worked out. So I'm looking for a better experience the next time I go.
Now that's interesting. So I guess let me ask you this: with them playing against OKC, do you think that they can get out of the series and go to the conference finals?
Absolutely, I think it's a good matchup. Honestly,
it is.
Really the only time I know a lot of people say Thunder won the series 3-1 in the regular season. Luka and Kyrie had only played together in one of those games, and they won that game by 35. They smoked the Thunder in that game. I am really looking forward to this. The Thunder don't have a great interior presence outside of Chet Holmgren, and even then, he's pretty light on his feet. Curious to see how Dallas schemes around that, whether it's get him in the pick and roll and throwing lobs, whether it's just going at him with Luka, who's as strong as any ball handler in the league. Really curious to see how they play that, but it's going to be an entertaining series. Really, both series in the West are going to be super, super entertaining.
100%. I guess one thing I'll say about Dallas is that, at least from what I saw in the Clippers series, is that they were really able to control the paint. I think that was a really big key. I think we even saw it even in Game 6, with their ability to crash the boards, be able to get offensive rebounds, get extra possessions on offense. And that was a big thanks to guys like Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington as well. I even saw Dante Exum a few times, be able to crash the glass. So, that could be a really big X factor, especially when you talk about how Dallas doesn't really have a lot of interior presence, defensively. I mean, Chet Holmgren, can defend the paint, but then also I feel like he kind of lacks a little bit of physicality at the same time as well. So I'm really interested to see, how the series goes. I mean, OKC's been a team that's on the rise. But they still really lack experience, whereas you have Dallas, that has multiple guys who do have a lot of experience. So I'm really interested to see, how that goes. But like I said, that's going to wrap up this episode, man. Make sure to follow Austin, follow myself and Nick Andre ATR. Make sure to check out my articles covering Florida State on Chop Chat. Once again, we appreciate you guys for listening in, and hope you guys have a great rest of your day.